Welcome, everybody, to the JK Sports Podcast. I'm Juan.
And I'm Kyle.
We're bringing it to you, just 1 week after our last podcast, right?
It's football season. We got a lot of stuff going on. Football season gets us jacked, you know?
Yeah.
We want to talk to the fans. We want the fans to hear what we have to say. I'm fired up, Juan.
Yeah, it's really for them, you know, to let them hear and kind of have a different avenue that they can get these casual sports takes from.
It's always for them. It's always for the fans. Yeah. It's always for you guys.
We didn't start this for ourselves.
No, we're
absolutely
not selfish people.
0% chance we started this for ourselves.
We give the people what they want.
What keeps them going.
That's right. What keeps them getting up in the morning, you know, driving to work, listening to the pod.
Yeah, yeah. We're motivators. And football gets them going.
Yeah.
Right? Football right now. Kyle, today starts like we just need to start enjoying every single week from now on.
Yeah.
Right? Because we got football, NFL football, real football starting, which actually I didn't know until today, Kyle. They have an extra week.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
17 games.
17 games, 18 weeks.
Yeah, 17 games. It's great. I mean, I feel bad for the players, but great for us, right?
Yeah.
Extra football.
Extra football. That means is the Super Bowl still going to be the same? Are they pushing that back a week?
I think everything's pushed back a week.
Oh.
The only reason I say that is because I know it caused a big – with one of my fantasy leagues – there was a big deal with the trading deadline and when it was going to be and then when playoffs are going to be, et cetera, et cetera. So it changes a lot of things, but I think everybody's going to make a lot more money from it.
Yeah.
A lot more gambling, good for restaurants, good for bars, good
podcasts,
good for the economy, good for advertisers. I love it.
Yeah. The only thing, I guess that makes sense. Everything's pushed back a week. My only thought with that was maybe they would shorten up those 2 weeks before from the championship game to the Super Bowl, right? Which one of those weeks is just the Pro Bowl. I mean, it's nothing. But I get it, right? It's the big game. It's a Super Bowl. Give the players an extra week off and then get it. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay if they didn't shorten that.
Yeah,
those 2 weeks.
And they're not competing with anybody in February. Really, there's not much going on in February from a sports perspective. You know, March Madness hasn't started.
Winter Olympics?
Winter Olympics are coming up this year, right?
Yeah.
Back-to-back years of Olympics?
Yeah.
Oh,
hopefully NBC
goodness.
Does a better job this.
Where are the Winter Olympics this year?
I have no idea.
Are they in France or am I just making that up? I'm probably making it up.
Yeah.
I'll do some research and get back to you.
Yeah, I don't think it's there. But, yeah, I mean, right now, I think I just really want to start enjoying these footballs. You know, each Thursday from now on, we're pretty much going to have a football game going on. Saturdays and Sundays. Like, I mean, Kyle, you could really relax on a Saturday, Sunday if you wanted to. You don't need any entertainment.
If you don't want to do anything, you don't have to.
Yeah.
Right. I was saying this when I came in. We had a drink tonight, watched a little pregame show. I mean, it just makes me so happy. Your weekends are made. You always have entertainment, no matter what you're doing.
It makes you a better person.
Yeah.
Right when football's on. Like
happy.
You're a better husband. You're a better father. Like,
are we?
Well, let's just go down this rabbit hole.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
You're not going out and doing things, maybe, right? You're all at the house and everybody's hanging out at the house. Football's on in the background. You're firing up the grill, right, for the family and hanging out. Right?
I don't know if I can jump on this train. I would argue, I probably drink more earlier in the day.
Yeah.
Not that that's a bad thing. I'm not going around beating my kids or anything.
Right. Thank God.
But, you know, you're having more get-togethers. People are watching games. And so I see what you're saying. You don't maybe schedule as much stuff during football season. But I don't know. I can't say I'm a better father because of it. It's definitely not a motivator to be a better father.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that was a stretch.
I don't know.
But I do understand that point of you don't – have a lot to do, but you really do.
Right, exactly.
Like, you're not necessarily in the South right here. Football is a big thing.
Right.
You plan your weekends around it, away games or home games, or what time is the game and what are you doing.
Right.
There's going to be gatherings at family or friends' houses, cookouts, just because of centered around when does your favorite college football team play.
It brings families together, though.
It does.
Right? Your friends, your family. I mean, we know with our group of friends, I mean, if we're not going to the Gator game, we're almost inevitably watching it somewhere at somebody's house, right? Which is great. I love that. It's all kids play.
Right. And so in that point, it's like you're not really scheduling all these vacations and like all this, you know, hopefully not weddings.
Right.
And these things during the season. You're just kind of like, hey, we're not really – vacations are over.
That's right.
Right. You're not really planning long weekends away or anything. But right. – You're still really busy. You would think you're not, you don't have a lot to do.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're like, what? You're just at home watching football?
And
you're
right.
Like, yeah. It's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Or I'm at somebody else's house watching football. And I'm very excited about it. And it's busy. Like, Monday comes and you're like, whew.
Depressed almost.
Right? Well, then you have Monday Night Football to bring you back up.
That's true. But you're almost in the funk from the weekend, right?
Yeah, but yeah, you are kind of sad though Monday, because it's not like you can just wake up and at 9 a.m. there's game day that's starting on TV.
Right. That's true.
Right? It's, you know what's starting? Your job.
Gross.
And Phyllis or Linda in your office that's wanting something from you that you should have done on Friday that you skipped because you're excited about college football.
Yeah, and I will say it definitely is a good motivator to get stuff done in the morning. You know, if you have yard work to do or errands to run or something to do, you know, with the kids, whatever it may be, it's a good motivator to, hey, get up. We're going to get this done. We're going to get it going. Get fired up.
Better father, better husband. See, because now you plan more, because definitely it's like you want to get everything done by noon.
Yeah.
That's step one.
That's true.
And if you can't,
right.
Then you got to start seeing when is your favorite college football team player, when is the best game on.
Right.
So if it's a 3:30 or 7, you're like, okay, I've got till, let's just say the 2:30.
Yeah.
Right. To do my family things, do obligations, do what I have to do. And then you kind of just want to say, I have no responsibilities from 3, or minimal.
Right.
From the 3:30 or whatever game on. And then if it's a 7 o'clock game, God knows what may happen.
Well, that's just when it gets dangerous.
Yes.
You're going to be watching other games, having a good time. No, I agree. I don't want to sit here and pretend like I'm a better person because it's football season, but
don't you feel a little tingly inside?
Might be happier. I might be in a better mood. Yeah. Might be dancing, you know, while I'm cooking breakfast or something, you know, playing the Gator cheers for the kids, doing the guy, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, dressing up the family in Gator gear, right? Everybody starting to learn the chants.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We definitely do that on Saturdays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gets the kids going.
You know, I do the, give me the orange, orange.
Right. Oh, yeah. We practice the Gator cheers in the pool, throwing them, you know, with the kids.
Oh, okay. That's a good one.
Right.
Good. All right, so let's just get right into the Gators then, right? Week 1 college football happened. Good games. A little disappointing in the 3:30 games, I'm just going to say, because it was Alabama-Miami blowout city. Miami,
but it wasn't a surprise, though, right?
It wasn't, but it's just like when you think about it, you're like, there is no other good game
on
that 3:30.
You're right.
And this was the game, and you knew Alabama was going to blow them up, but you're like, could it maybe be competitive? Wasn't. Night game. Let's talk about the Gators, right?
Let's go.
The start of Emory Jones. What do we think? What do we like? What do we? Let's do a start, stop, continue.
Okay.
On Emory Jones.
Start, stop, continue.
Yep. So something that you want him to start doing that he wasn't doing.
Okay.
In the first that you saw in the first game, right?
Okay.
Something that you want them to stop doing, some bad things that you're like, you know what, you need to stop doing that going forward.
Right.
And some things that were pretty good and let's continue on and let's build on them.
Okay. Well, let's.
Okay. And you know what? Maybe I won't even single out Emery, right? You can do the whole Gator offense or Gator team. You can lump it all into one, or you can separate position groups, offensive, defense, however you want. I'll leave it open to you.
Well, it became very apparent, and we kind of knew this going in, but it's going to be a run-dominant offense. Our running game looked really good.
Yep.
Now, we're playing FAU, okay? It's the equivalent of an NFL preseason game. Their defense wasn't great, and I understand that. But
the offense, the year before for FAU, was ranked 115th in the nation.
Not great. That's not great.
There's only, I think, 140-something teams.
it's not good. I mean, they're not a good team,
right?
And Willie Taggart's their coach, who is just horrific. Right. But so the running game looked great, and I think they will be very strong. Our running backs are great. Our O-line looked much improved. Now, we'll see how that holds up against SEC D-lines, but they certainly look strong. So what I would say to continue for Emory Jones is continue being mobile and running it. That is a Dan Mullen stereotypical quarterback. He's a good runner. He's good with the ball in his hands. He can make plays. Keep it going, Emory. Don't stop that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Dan Mullen likes to play the numbers game, right? He always tells people he doesn't really look for a running quarterback. He just wants somebody who's willing to run. And the reason being, how he dissects it down, is he's going to put numbers in the box.
Right.
And if you see that you have an advantage and that there's going to be a linebacker there, or a linebacker on a wide receiver, or whatever the matchup may be, if it's favorable to the quarterback, you better take advantage of it, and I expect you to go run.
Right.
And I think with Emory Jones, that is good. I agree with you, and I think, let's continue that.
And if you look at the teams that are going to give us the most difficulty, Alabama, first one on the list, typically they struggle. When I say struggle, the Alabama version of struggle, but running quarterbacks give them the most trouble.
Yep.
So I think that's a good thing. Having a good running quarterback is a good thing in college. He looked so bad throwing the ball. He looked lost. He looked, I don't want to say scared. Scared's not the right. He didn't look scared, but he looked like he was very confused. Confused is a good word to use.
Yep.
And what I want him to start doing is start acting like this is your, fourth year?
Yep, in the office? Fourth year.
This is his fourth year at UF, his fourth year with Mullen, his fourth year in the offense. Start looking like it, okay? You would expect this from anybody who's been in the program, who's been in the offense that long, to look like they know what they're doing. He does not. When we're throwing on pass plays, he just looked lost. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, I was trying to think of some plays, and I want to defend him and say, did he, those couple plays were bad. The goal line play, I can understand that one, where it was like fourth and four, and you do a QB dive.
Right.
Sneak. And you even saw Dan Mullen saying, what was that?
Yeah.
Obviously some signals and all that stuff.
Right.
I got it. First game bugs on that. But then he did throw those interceptions a little bit later. So, I agree with that. So are you on team benching him already? Anthony Richardson, let's stop Emery and go to Anthony?
No. Now, I will say Richardson in there is, man, that dude is a freaking spark plug, man. He gets him going. He gets me going.
Yeah.
He is fun to watch. And I will say, if Emory has another game like that against USF, who is worse than FAU, by all accounts, then, I mean, it'd be hard to stick him back in against Alabama. Everybody says that Emory has a much better understanding of the offense, way better than Richardson, yada, yada, yada. That has to be true. again, his fourth year, of course he does.
Yeah.
But if you don't play like it, who cares? It's irrelevant. All that matters is results on the field. I don't think Emory played as bad as everyone made him out to be. His problem was really more the red zone. Once you got down there, I mean, it was just complete meltdowns. The score was 35-14. I mean, they should have had easily two more touchdowns, easily.
Yeah. It felt like some of the long intermediate throws, like the 10-15 yard passing plays, it was like feast or famine, right? Like some of them are like, all right, good throw there. All right, good job. But then the other ones, you're like, who are you throwing it to and why? Correct. Did you already decide who to throw it to there? So that's a little bit concerning. And obviously you can't have those kind of picks against the good teams going forward. But I don't know. I think if you did go, a lot of the Gator talks is play Richardson. Emory's already, I've seen enough of Emory. You know, you're not going to get anywhere with him. The backup quarterback is always the favorite person.
Of course.
Right.
Of course.
Of any team. But I do think he knows a lot more of the offense, and clearly because of 4 years, and they were prepping him the entire year to be the starter.
Yes.
I think the way Dan Mullen handles quarterbacks, he would probably still have Emory in a lot, but just it would be a lot more 50-50, I think, right? You'd probably see 2 to 3 series of Emory, maybe 3 series of right. Richardson, who's got the hot hand, what's the game plan of the game, right? Is this team, do we not even need to throw it and just have to run, right? And if, yeah. I mean, granted, let's, positive, right? Continue with the Gators running.
Yeah.
We haven't, I remember last year, Florida was not able to run the ball at all. The
correct.
Offensive line was horrible.
Horrible. Yep.
And you could even say that in 2019 as well.
Yeah.
With it. Now, is the offensive line still horrible? I don't know. Hard to tell. It was FAU.
Right.
With some of that, but with the talent that they have at running back and Emory Jones, who I will say Emory's vision on running plays is very good.
Yeah.
Like he just, I watched a couple highlights when the game was on replay on TV. It seems like he can just get 4 to 5 yards easily.
Right.
Like just, he knows where his offensive line is blocking and he just slips through there and goes. Now, maybe he doesn't have that breakaway speed like Anthony Richardson, like that we saw, right?
Sure.
Or some of that. Different plays, who knows? But I like that. Having Emory there to be able to run, and with all the running backs, I mean, that's good.
Absolutely. And that's why I was saying continue running. That is by far how he is most effective in games. Don't stop that. Keep it going. The problem, though, when the playing the two quarterbacks thing, I'm not a massive believer in the two quarterback system ever working. The only situations where I think it's effective is if the two quarterbacks are, I don't want to say polar opposite, but yeah. Each brings their own thing to the table. Think
like
about
Chris
Leak was the stereotypical game manager, the intermediate short pass. I mean, he was perfect. That Tebow's coming in, everybody in the world knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's head down, running forward, but it was great. It's a good combo, right? The Richardson-Jones thing, they're kind of the exact same player. So what's the point in playing two? It's if one can't stay in and play the whole game and is effective, well, hell, play the other one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not – I don't think it's a who's got the hot hands. I don't – I'm not buying that.
Again, I'm not concerned, though. At the end of the day, I'm – talk to me in game 5 or 6. I'm not concerned about the Gator offense. I think Dan Mullen is a good coach. He's proven it to be, and he's going to be able to figure this out and say, all right, guys, scrap it. We're going to run the ball all the time, or we're going to do something that works. Because he's proven it in the last couple years when
yep.
– especially last year, he was like – we can't run the ball at all, so we are not running it.
Yeah.
We're just going to throw it to running backs.
Yeah, totally agree.
In the thing, and it worked out fine. So I'm not worried about that. I still have concerns about the defense, especially with FAU. Now, you know, scoreboard-wise, they did really well. Didn't, you know, gave up a couple touchdowns, garbage time. So I'm not too concerned about those. Right, it was like fourth quarter before they did all that. But there were a lot of third downs, third six, third and eights, you know, that they're just playing back, no press coverage, or trying to blitz and not getting there in time, and FAU's picking it up. And I'm like, if this stuff is going to happen against FAU, these other teams are going to light it up against Florida. Now, they didn't have some of the tackling issues week one, which was great, right? Like, I didn't see a lot of missed tackles like I did last year. So if there was a third and eight that they picked up, it was only third and eight. But the fact that Florida could not get off the field on third down is what concerns me against better teams. So I'm still on the I don't trust it. I don't trust Grantham. I trust what Mullen's going to do on the offense, on the defense. I'm hesitant, and I have bad feelings on what the future of that's going
to
be.
Well, yeah, and I think Grantham is the antithesis of Mullen. To your point, Mullen has proven he can figure out a way to be effective throughout the year with whatever he has and whatever he's working with, where Grantham, it is what it is, and it has been since he's been there. The bend don't break mentality, I get to an extent, you know, that teams will always move the ball on our defense. Always. That's just the way that they play, the way that he coaches, that's going to happen. The problem is, you know, you're breaking on these third downs, right? And if you have these conversions, you know, third down after third down after third down conversion, I mean, that's just not just physically exhausting, but mentally draining for teams. And FAU is not a good test. And it's really, really difficult to tell. This week is not going to be a good test with USF. The SEC will beat you down. I mean, Alabama, we saw what they did. And not that I expect to go out and beat Alabama by any means, but, you know, okay, you lose to Alabama, that you can't lose again, you know? And
I mean, at what point, you know, we're starting to get there now in Mullen's fourth year of Florida, where we're done with the being happy that we're winning 10 games, 8 games, having a good offense, and being the people.
Exactly.
Now it's the, hey, we got competitive with Georgia. We've beaten Georgia. We've been very competitive with Alabama last year, right?
Yeah.
And had a chance to do well. When are we going to break that barrier now? And just, unless we're competing with them head to head, that's the standard.
Yeah.
I think that's what concerns me, right? I think Grantham defense, and he's shown it, if you play an inexperienced quarterback or quarterback that's not very good, that defense will do well because they're going to make bad mistakes. There's a lot of pressure, blitzing, you know, and it'll do well. I mean, Bo Nix at Auburn, right? Like, when it happened in the Swamp, like, that was a very good team, but rookie quarterback, not good quarterback, he's going to make him pay. When they played the Jake Fromms, Joe Burrow's second year.
Right.
Doing better. And so forth, that's when the defense has struggled because those quarterbacks will make you pay.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm concerned about the future of Florida defense.
On the defensive side.
On the defensive side. So,
yeah.
I think overall, great first week. It's awesome. Hey, got a big win. Offense looks sharp for the first two plays. We know two drives going down there scoring 14 points. Not concerned about that. Defense, I feel like, did make some headway. Let's see what they do. And week three, let's see what happens.
Let's do it. Emery, we're not ready to give up on you. Stay strong, buddy.
We're not. And the last thing, though, Georgia, Clemson, quick tidbit. Georgia for real?
Yeah, Georgia's for real. Well, I think it's twofold, though. I do. I think Georgia's for real, number one, and I think Clemson may be. Not, I don't want to say overrated, but may not be to the level that they've been the past couple years. And also, this is what we talked about last week. I told you we'll get two SEC teams in for the playoffs. Here you go, right here, Georgia. They're gonna find a way to get in.
I think Clemson is fine. I just think their offense has been limited the last couple years, and it was masked by Trevor Lawrence, you know, of how good he was and stuff. Yeah. But their offense hasn't been good. The problem with them is they can't make this up. Like, there's nobody in the ACC that's good that they can make up any of it, right? Like, Georgia could have at least made it up.
So that was going to be my question to you, though, is let's say Clemson runs the table in the SEC and wins the ACC. And let's say Georgia loses to the Gators, okay? The Gators lose to Alabama, but the Gators beat Georgia and go to the SEC championship, okay? Who, obviously, we're super early in the season, and a bazillion things can happen. But this is an extremely realistic scenario where Georgia loses an SEC game, maybe one that they shouldn't, mm-hmm. and they don't go to the SEC championship game, or they do lose a game, go to the SEC championship game, lose to Bama. You know, there's a lot of scenarios. I guess what I'm saying is what happens when Clemson runs the table and wins by 50 against all the ACC teams, has one loss to Georgia, and Georgia's doesn't win the SEC, right? I mean, in my mind, you have to put in Georgia, right?
Because of the head-to-head?
I would think so. Right? Even if they lose two.
There's too many factors else, right? Because then you got to look at the Pac-12. Is Pac-12 even going to have anybody that's decent
to
compete in? I mean, they would have to do Oregon.
Oregon plays Ohio State.
Right. So, you know, Oregon is kind of like their only shot. Or our Cyclones. Iowa State.
Listen, the Cyclones are in. We've already said it.
Right. So
Cyclones are in.
That's Big 12, but regardless, right, let's see what the Big 12, Big 10, and ACC or Pac-12 do. The Big 10, I mean, Ohio State played well, but...
They didn't look great. I guess, so...
Too many factors on the other
Too many other factors. Schools. I just think with Georgia now that they beat Clemson, when you play an SEC schedule and you have a non-conference win of that caliber, unless Oregon beats Ohio State, which is very feasible, unless that happens, no other team in the country is going to have a non-conference win better than Georgia will.
Yeah.
So it'll just be interesting to see. And we have a long way to go. We have, 13 weeks left or however, which gets me fired up thinking about that. A lot can happen, but all I'm saying is I'm right. Okay, and you're welcome to everybody listen to me and bet for Georgia to make the playoffs.
You got it.
Back and
funky. It's a funny thing.
I love it.
It's a funny thing. All right, so let's talk NFL. We talked about college football. NFL starts right now. You want to do some picks?
It's on right now. Let's pick them. Let's go.
Let's pick them.
I'm feeling good about them.
Who? I guess let's do it this way. Are you taking Tampa Bay or the field?
The field.
Ooh.
The field. I know who's going to play in the Super Bowl this year.
You know?
I do. I know. And it'll not be Tampa Bay.
Really?
It will not be.
Will Tampa Bay be in the championship game?
They will not. If they're in the Super Bowl, they will win.
Okay, that's your preference.
That's my prediction.
Okay.
I don't want to cheer against the Bucks.
Okay.
And I would never bet against Tom Brady. But I just, repeating in the NFL today, super brutal.
It's tough. So who's playing in the Super Bowl? Let's give the people what they want.
Give them what they want?
Yeah.
Here are my predictions.
Okay.
The Rams will come out of the NFC. Not the Bucks, but the Rams.
Los Angeles Rams.
Big Sean McVay fan.
Yep.
Big fan. Now that they have Stafford, I think they made a lot of changes, a lot of upgrades to the team. Having Stafford will improve the offense drastically. Their defense, bunch of studs. They play in the toughest division in football, which will prep them for the playoffs. They'll be ready. Great coach, great quarterback. Let's go Rams. I'm in. AFC, I'm going to take the Bills. They're returning...
Buffalo Bills?
Buffalo Bills.
Over the Chiefs?
Over the Chiefs. They're returning... Is it 21 starters? It's only like one, maybe two starters that aren't returning from last year. They were a young team. They were a new team. Same coach. Great young quarterback. Yeah.
He just got paid.
And he got paid. That's right. Chiefs have some turnover. They've been, what, two years in a row in the Super Bowl, and
they're 1-1.
I just, 3 years in a row is tough, man. It's hard to do that in the NFL. Do I?
Yeah, like the Bills did.
Yeah,
Bills went 4 in a row. Didn't they go 4 in a row?
Right, 30 years ago. That's my whole point. It's a completely different league now. I just, it's hard to do. Do I think the Chiefs and the Bucks are the two best teams? Absolutely. Does that mean they're going to make the Super Bowl? Nope. Barring any crazy injuries, that's my pick. Rams and Bills. Let's go.
I like it. I think that's going out there a little bit. I love the Rams picks. I've got Matthew Stafford in my fantasy football. I think he's going to have a monster year this year with Sean McVay. If Sean McVay can take Jared Goff to the Super Bowl and make him look like a elite quarterback, imagine what he can do with some talent.
I totally agree. It's going to be a great combo. Fun to watch.
Right. Fun to watch there. I kind of want to go with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Really?
But, you know, I have zero backup. I have zero rationale history. I'm just throwing darts out there, right? But Aaron Rodgers, man. R-E-L-A-X. Relax. Go out there. I don't know if a lot of his team came back. They were good last year, though. I mean,
yeah, but
he makes them good.
I used to be a big Aaron Rodgers fan. What a pain in the butt, though. I mean, I don't. I think people, the chemistry thing is overblown with teams. I think that's kind of overplayed. However, it is definitely a factor, and it definitely comes into play. Don't you feel like he's kind of a
diva?
Well, he's definitely a diva, but I mean, it's got to affect the team, right? The quarterback in the NFL is the most prominent position in all
sports. Yeah, it affects him in the offseason, but doesn't affect him during the games when he's winning games and everybody's getting touchdowns and getting more money because of him and making all these contract incentives because they caught X amount of passes and had these yards.
But as you know, a lot of, with football, 90% of the game is done pre-game, right? With all the prep, the practice, all the film watch. I mean, all your play calls, all your work. I mean, that's all done off the field. And it's got to affect it to an extent, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm kind of throwing darts out there. I think it'd be there. I'm thinking... It's Bucks to lose, though. I don't see any other NFC team besides Rams, Packers, and Bucks being able... Like, I think that's the tier.
I totally agree with you. I think those are the three best. I'm in. And yes, I would agree Tampa Bay is the best team in the NFC. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's just it. So, AFC... Bills. That's...
So wait, did you pick the Bucks out of the NFC? Is that your pick?
No, I'm going to change it up and go with the Packers.
Okay, I like it.
AFC. I like Buffalo. I don't mind it. Kansas City definitely still going to be good.
AFC's loaded this year.
Baltimore's got a lot of injuries now. Like, they don't have a running back, so I can't see them.
As of today, they lost Gus Edwards.
Yep.
Probably out for the year with torn ACL. That's three running backs. And they lost Marcus Peters today. They're getting smoked with injuries. We haven't played a game yet.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's Chiefs and Bills who are probably the top two in the AFC. And I still think I'm going to go with the Chiefs, though, and Patrick Mahomes instead of Josh Allen.
Sticking with the Chiefs. So you got
Chiefs, Packers, and Aaron Rodgers.
You're going with A-Rod?
A-Rod? On the belt, yeah.
Oh, man. Does he retire after he wins?
Yeah, he does. Takes a year off, and then he'll come back with some other team.
Oh, man. That's quite the storyline.
It is.
I'm here for the storyline. Winning the Super Bowl, retires, and then comes back. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, that's as much detail as I know right now. Into the season, we're going to know a lot more about these teams.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about football being on Sundays.
I know, 1 o'clock right?
game, 4 o'clock game, Sunday night football.
Sundays are the best day to watch football. Yeah. Sundays are definitely the best day to watch football. There's no doubt. Saturdays are great, but you're partying. You're having fun. You're with everybody. Sunday, you're at home. You're relaxing.
Yeah.
You're ordering pizza or sushi or just laying on the couch, being lazy. It's great. It's great. I love it.
It is. It's going to be a great time. So those are our picks. You guys, let us know how we did. And because we'll let you know how we did when we're ready.
We're going to follow them.
Old school vibes right there.
Why not?
Do you remember this video?
Do I remember the video?
Virtual Insanity, Jamiroquai.
No, I don't remember the video.
He had a big hat on.
And, I felt like...
And the walls were kind of like always like coming in, and like he had like the floor that was like moving the entire time.
Yeah. I gotcha.
It was... It was wild back in those days. The 90s, man. Or 2000s, maybe? I don't know.
No, that was definitely 90s. You know what else is wild? Brady throwing touchdown passes to Gronk, both in Bucks uniforms.
Yeah.
How awesome is that?
I mean, Gronk is a pirate.
He's a pirate, all right.
If there's anybody that is a pirate, it's Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, they got it figured out, man.
He's a dude.
He is a dude. I want to party with him.
Yeah, so... All right, Kyle, let's do a little lightning round here. I've got for you. We didn't really talk about it on the podcast, but USA men's soccer team.
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me about this.
All right. It's going on right now. Ugh. World Cup qualifying.
Yeah, man.
All right, so they had a big win against Honduras here, right? They beat Honduras, I think, got 5 points, something like that.
They won 4-1.
4-1. They lost, or no, they tied against Canada.
Right.
Right, and then who else did they play?
They tied El Salvador.
El Salvador. So they had two ties and now a win.
Yeah.
Which apparently the win puts them in good position to make the World Cup, because the next few teams are playing aren't really that great and they should be able to win all this.
Well, I would argue that the three teams we've played thus far aren't really good. It was a big win because we got 3 points, because, you know, goal differential, that's big. But, you know, we still have to play a couple teams that we've struggled against. You know, Mexico recently, when I say recently, the last two games, we played great against them, but they're by far the best team. in the group. Still have to play Costa Rica, Panama, who for some reason we struggle against. I don't know why. U.S. team, let's lock it up, man. Let's do better. Be better. Let's go. You should not have tied any games thus far. Canada, are you freaking kidding me? You're tying Canada? Get out of here. These young players, we have a ton of talent. Let's step it up. Let's play better. It actually frustrates me, and I'm mad you asked the question.
But is there anything to say about they won against Honduras with their basically none of their good people were in? Right? Like, Pulisic.
He got hurt. Pulisic,
he got hurt.
He came out. He was in, though. I mean, it wasn't like he didn't play at all. I mean, he did play. They looked horrible at first. They started off bad. To their credit, they made adjustments. They brought in the right people. They beat them pretty badly at the end of it. I am impressed with that. I hope they turn around and continue this momentum. But this is not a reason to celebrate, okay? We there's still a long way to go in qualifying. A lot of games left. Let's keep the momentum. Let's build on it. Let's play a little bit better.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
So let's stay on the U.S. track, Juan. We have not had any golf talk yet today. However, big news out of the golfing world, Ryder Cup team is selected. And I'm going to read the team to you, and you tell me if you'd make any adjustments. So the guys who qualified for the U.S. team, Morikawa, DJ, DeChambeau, Skepka, JT, and Cantlay. Hard to argue any of those guys, right?
Right.
They're
right.
All well-deserved. Captain's picks, Finau, Schauffele, Spieth, English, Berger, and Scheffler. Okay?
Yeah, not excited.
Are there... So, my question to you, they seem to be getting ripped, but I will tell you, I read the first six that qualify. I'm going to read you the next, and we did this last time, the next, in order of the next qualifiers, Finau, Schauffele, Spieth, English, Patrick Reed, Berger, Simpson, Scheffler, Jason Kokrak. My question to you is, okay, you're right, some of these, not super exciting. Who would you sub in? Who would you sub out? Would you make any changes? Who would it be? What would it look like? You're the captain. Captain Juan Cortez, Team America, let's go.
Oh, God, that's a lot of pressure. I don't know if I want all that
you
pressure.
You asked for it. This is you, man. Now's your time.
I'll just say this. I would put Kisner in there.
Why?
I would take out Berger. Because he's good at match play, right? He's proven that he is good at match play. He's won. He's done good at the Austin WGC that they have. Mm-hmm. He's won that. He's done well before. He's hot right now, kind of, right? Like, he just recently won the tournament. He's a good guy in the clubhouse. I think that's somebody that gets me personally excited about the golf and get going and says, hey, I have a good chance to win. Daniel Berger, I don't know what I'm going to get with him, right? He's played well, but has he really played well recently? I haven't heard his name in forever recently with any of this. So I would take him out.
So I'm 100% with you on Berger. I think get him out of here. I don't think he's a good fit. It doesn't seem like he's some well-liked dude.
Right.
It's hard for me to say I would put in Kisner over a lot of other guys in there. So just so you're aware,
yep,
the other guys who didn't get in that are ranked ahead of Kisner on the U.S. side, Patrick Reed,
yep,
Webb Simpson,
yep,
Jason Kokrak, which screw that, Sam Burns, and Billy Horschel. And then you have Kevin Na and Phil Mickelson, Max Homa, Will Zalatoris, Gary Woodland right behind him. That crew, that's a strong crew.
I would rather have those guys on the team. Zalatoris, Gary Woodland, like him.
Yeah, but Gary hasn't done anything since his U.S. Open win.
Zalatoris, does he even have a card yet, a PGA Tour card?
He does now. He does officially. Now that this season's over, he has a card.
Right, so all those guys, see, I'm looking at it from the viewership standpoint, right? And those guys, I would rather have more viewership and watch them and sit down and be excited to see them compete. Berger, Harris, English, I could care less to sit down and watch them play golf. It's too boring.
I think we can both agree on the fact that Berger probably isn't the best pick. Harris English, I totally agree with you in that I don't like watching him play. That being said, he's played really, really well this year. I don't dislike him being on the team. He kind of keeps to himself. He's kind of ice cold. You know, singles, he'll do well. Team event, I don't know. Finau, though, Finau, Schauffele, Spieth, I like those picks.
I like those a lot.
I think those are good guys. Everybody likes those guys. They're great players. They've all had good years. They're all consistent this year. Good picks. So I feel like 1 through 9, you're doing good. The last three, I think, is where you can get a little, you know, who are you going to put? I don't dislike the Scheffler addition. I kind of like him in there. I think you get the young guys who don't care, who don't have ties to anything else. They're there to win. You get them in early, get them exposed. Let's go. I'm okay with the Scheffler pick. Here's my question, though. Patrick Reed was left out. He was ranked 11. There's 12 picks,
yep,
right?
He was ranked ahead of Berger.
Reed is left out. Do you feel good about leaving out Captain America or not?
I would like to see Reed in the Ryder Cup. I think he's good in the Ryder Cup since proving himself on it. But, I mean, he did have that whole COVID and the whole scare. So
the story is apparently he was never diagnosed with COVID. He had double pneumonia in the hospital and was never tested for COVID.
Yeah, see, that whole debacle and everything, like, you just can't do that for a Ryder Cup, right?
He's full of crap, right?
Yeah, you gotta have clarity, gotta have all that. Like, you have to take him out because of that.
He sucks.
I wish that didn't happen, because if it didn't, he would be on.
But I don't know if I don't know if I can cheer for a team that has Bryson and Patrick Reed both on the same side. That there are not two golfers that I despise more. There aren't. And they play for the U.S. I think Stricker was like, there's no way I can have both these guys on the same team.
But there's not two more people that when something happens in a tournament and they're involved, right, that people are not talking about for a full week after.
But it's for all the wrong things. Reed is, at least. DeChambeau, he's a different type of hate.
Yeah.
Patrick Reed is just a piece of garbage. Like, he's just a bad person. DeChambeau isn't a bad person. He's just a massive dork. And he's all screwed up in the head. Patrick Reed he sucks. Get him out of here.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think I probably would have put Phil in there.
You would have?
Yeah.
Really?
I would have put Phil in there.
Well, so he's technically on the team as an assistant coach.
I know. You know who's a really boring person to watch play, but I mean, they're good, is Koepka. Koepka and John and DJ. I remember in the Ryder Cup in 2016, watching them, and they played against Thomas Peters and Rory McIlroy.
Yes.
And you're like, this is gonna be awesome, this is great. It could not have been more boring to follow them and watch them.
See, I don't think Koepka's boring. Why would you say he's boring?
Him and DJ, and maybe it was just that time, him and DJ together, they're just bros. Like, there's not a lot going up there in the head. So they just go and hit the ball and says, see you later. There's not trash talking.
I know. I love that, though. And that's why DJ just gets up and hits it, man. There's not a lot of BS. He doesn't take long. He just goes up. I love that.
I love it too. But I think another person just like him, like that, playing with him, when you watch him, is super boring.
Yeah, I don't know.
For television or entertainment's sake. I love it for the team. I love it as what they're doing.
I don't know.
It's just entertainment. I'm more worried about entertainment.
Yeah, I am too. I don't know. There's storylines. There's like, I disagree. DJ and Brooks, let's go. Team them up. Let's just freaking drop bombs on them. Let's drop bombs on Europe.
Well, I mean,
I'm so excited.
Driving bombs, Kyle. You know, we're in a sensitive climate right now. Not like literal.
Not Afghanistan bombs.
Yes, correct.
Sorry. Correct. Yeah, but I think from a talent perspective and, you know, world ranking from currently who's hot, U.S. team has a better lineup on paper, but that's proven year and year again to not really matter. So we'll see.
All right, Cal, my last one is baseball. Hall of Fame, Derek Jeter, Larry Walker were among the you know, big guys who were inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Any thoughts with that? Happy for him?
I mean, not really. I'm happy.
Do you even care about the Baseball Hall of Fame anymore? Is it even a real Hall of Fame with all the steroid stuff and like Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds? Like, they're never going to get in there.
No, and I appreciate the fact that the baseball writers keep him out. I actually feel like that adds more credibility to it. I don't know. Hall of Fame stuff is fine. It's great. I think it's important to honor the greats. I think it's always, it makes for good discussion on if somebody's a Hall of Famer, if they're close. But, I mean, Jeter's always been a Hall of Famer, right? I mean, he's...
On and off the field.
Huh. Definitely off the field. That's a no-brainer. I heard a discussion today, and I forget who it was they were talking about. Is Derek Jeter overrated? That was an interesting discussion. Because I think Jeter's considered... Some people consider him the greatest Yankee ever, right? That might be a little much. Yeah. But...
Yeah.
But it's definitely a little much. But, you know, he wasn't... When you look at his numbers comparatively, somebody was comparing him to Barry Larkin. And I love Barry Larkin growing up. But most people, if you ask them, they're like, they don't even know who he played for, right? Very similar numbers. Derek Jeter just did it when it mattered. And for the most popular team ever. And good for him. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah. We'll have another podcast one day to discuss whose off the field career would you rather have, Leonardo DiCaprio's or Derek Jeter's off the field career.
Well, that's a discussion for a different day.
For a different day, but just ponder on that.
Good topic. Good topic.
I appreciate your question, but let's just put a pin in that, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I have to prep myself mentally to answer that question.
Can we both agree they have both had Hall of Fame careers?
Both are unanimous Hall of Famers.
Unanimous Hall of Famers.
Unanimous.
All right, this is the sprinkles on the ice cream.
Yeah.
Right? We've got great ice cream that we both just love, huge tub of it.
Right.
And now we're just deciding which sprinkles to put on.
Yeah, that's right. Good work, both of you guys. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a little more controversial with my last question. And Naomi Osaka lost. U.S. Open's going on in tennis right now. Watched a few of the matches. I love... Grand Slam events in tennis, it's great. Joker has a chance to win the calendar year Grand Slam, but Naomi Osaka, big story, loses in the third round, I believe. She's had some issues lately and goes out, says she's contemplating now quitting tennis for a while. Very similar to Simone Biles in the attention she's getting, mental health issues, blah, blah, blah. A, were you even aware? And B, what are your thoughts on her saying she's going to, considering quitting tennis?
I was somewhat aware. I haven't really dug into the details of a lot of this, but hey, if you're going to quit tennis for a while and do that, then go for it. Do you. Do what you have to do. I don't know if that's sending a great message to a lot of people. I don't like the message that it's sending to other athletes, but I don't know. I'm over it, Kyle. I'm over. I have apathy towards these kind of situations now that are becoming the norm, right? And it's hard for me to understand and get in that mindset.
Yeah.
Right, of what they're going through. So, Naomi, if you want to come on the pod, I'd love to understand, right? I'd love to understand some of these people one-on-one and figure out why, right, and what else is there. But from the outside and just the whole culture of it, it's I have apathy towards the whole thing.
Yeah, no, I would love to ask her if she's going to return the rest of her money to Nike and all of her other sponsorships that have paid her to perform and show up and play, and her prize money that she gets for showing up and playing. And that's why advertisers, you know, pay, because people of her caliber are playing. But, you know, she wins. She's fired up. She smiles, is excited. It's great. It's wonderful. But if she loses, you know, it's so hard. Life's tough, you know, I might quit. Like, well, you knew what you were signing up for. Welcome to the real world, Naomi. Get out of here.
Performance-based jobs and people having performance anxiety, it's just, I mean.
Correct.
What are you doing?
Millions of other jobs out there, millions of other ways to earn a phenomenal, you know, income, make a great living, quiet lifestyle. You did not have to do this. Nobody's forcing you to do it.
Live and die by the sword, yep, as they say. And also, her anxiety before was with media, is from what I understood. Now the anxiety is with playing.
Well, correct. So it shifts and changes, but it's all one and the same, right? You don't play and win without media. You don't get the media without winning. You know, so, I mean, it's kind of it's a package deal, right? It's not, you can't do one or the other. You don't get the media if you don't win, right?
Right.
So.
You don't, no guts, no glory. You don't get attention if you're not good at what you're doing and winning.
Right. And if you don't want the media, well, don't play. That's fine. But you don't get the sponsorships if you don't play and win. You don't get the money if you don't play and win. You don't get the fame. I mean, so.
Play for free.
Yeah, no, she absolutely can. She can coach. She can play. I mean, she can play at the public courts or play at her country club, you know. Dominate. She could go dominate. My God. Naomi, come to Ocala. I'll talk some sense into you. We'll play mixed doubles. We'll dominate.
I mean, that wouldn't even be fair for her to.
My net game is strong. I'm long. I'm lanky. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, that could work. Not consistent, though.
No, super inconsistent. But I'll tell you what, I won't quit on you.
Oh.
Zinger. Oh. Gatter.
Oh, wow. Wow. All right, on that note, that's all the time we have for this week. Kids, stay in school. Don't quit.
Don't quit.
And football's back, Kyle.
Football's back. Till next time.
Till next time.